Welcome to Marcus Wick Ministries. Get ready to hear God's word and walk in his power through dynamic teaching and prophetic insight. And now, here's Marcus.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Marcus Wick, and I'm glad you could join me for session four of the five-part series, Five Introductions That Will Change Your Life. Today on session four, we will be talking about Let Me Introduce You to the Church. I believe one of the most essential things you can do after you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, after you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, after you are consuming the Word of God until the Word of God consumes you, I believe one of the most essential thing that you can do to add to all of that is to get yourself into a good, healthy, thriving local church. We are not called to do life by ourselves. And if we want to succeed, if we want to grow, if we want to be everything that God has called us to be in life, we're going to have to realize that God has designed it us to reach our full potential within the confines of the local church or within a body. Hallelujah. And I think that once you find a good local church, you're going to find a support mechanism. You're going to find people that love you, people that think like you, people that can relate to you, people that are going to pray for you, and people that are going to walk through you, with you through your journey of life as you pursue Jesus in a greater way. It's just going to be good for you. You're going to end up doing more, hallelujah, in a group than you ever could by yourself. If you got your Bibles with you today, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. And I'm just going to rattle off some things. I'm going to rattle off about two or three things about why it's important to be in a church from the Bible. And then I'm going to show you, tell you how to relate to the church. And then we're going to finally wrap it up about how to choose or things that you might want to look for in choosing a good local church. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." Here's the point that I'm trying to make. When you and I got born again, the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ. And we are meant to be part of a body. We'd get more done. We are meant to function as members of the body of Christ. And every organ in your body, whether your eyeball or your ear or your heart or your nose or whatever it is, if you remove your finger, you cut your finger off from the rest of the body, that finger will die. If I took my heart out and laid it on a table, I get a strong, healthy heart. Hallelujah. If I lay that out on a table, when it's taken outside of the body, it will die. Your body parts, our body parts, cannot live outside over a long period of time. Temporarily they could, but not in the long run. They cannot grow or live or exist outside of a body. And you, outside of the body, and you and I are members of the body of Christ. And we were baptized into a body, and God, through the Holy Spirit, has revealed an image, if you will, a picture of what the local church or what the church is all about, and that is a body. And although we are individual members, hallelujah, we will not reach our full potential without the rest of the body of Christ. And it's very important that not only we find a good local church to get plugged into, but we also are able to know how to have a healthy relationship with the local church and not get offended, or what I like to call church hurt, like so many other people have in the past. They've gotten church hurt. Somebody in church hurt them, and now they're out there by their own. They're not growing up. They're struggling, and they're isolated, and the devil is just destroying their life because he got them offended in the church. Somebody did something. Somebody said something, some kind of bad experience, and now they're turned off to the local church, and as a result, they're struggling, and they're not reaching their full potential. And I want to you know, kind of set you up in a way to have a healthy immune system so that you don't get the disease of offense and unforgiveness, and it knocks you out of the local church and you become disconnected from the very thing that was meant to bless you. Hallelujah, actually ends up becoming a curse. We don't want to do that. So we are meant to be part of a local church. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We are not only have we been baptized into a body and we're members of a body, but we have been commanded, hallelujah, by God here in Hebrews chapter 10, 25, to be part, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. And how many people out there have forsaken the assembling of themselves? And as a result, they're not growing, they're not maturing, they're coming up with all kinds of crazy ideas, they're falling prey to false teachings, and it's just not a good situation. And he says this, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. Don't forsake the local church, but come together and exhort one another. And then it says right here, so much more as you see the day approaching, meaning the more and the more, the closer and closer we get to the end times, to the fulfillment of all times, we need to be fellowshipping with one another. We need to be assembling together, and we need to be in an environment that is conducive to spiritual growth and maturity, and we do that in the local church. And even here, here's what I want to say about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. In the early church, when the church first got out of the gate, there were people that were not, felt like they didn't need the local church, and they had forsaken the local church, and they were about doing their own thing. And again, they just weren't growing up. It wasn't good. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you've gotten church hurt. Maybe you've been in a local church that didn't teach the, whatever, all kinds of reasons why people don't go to church. I want to encourage you. We need to become part of a local church. And even if you got it all together and you feel like you don't need the church needs you. There is a mutual impartation within community. There is a growth in our lives that cannot take place outside of a relationship with the local church or outside of community. We need to be part of a body. We need to get plugged in. We're going to grow. We're going to find people that talk the way we talk, walk the way that we walk, and keep us stirred up and fired up for Jesus, and keep us on assignment so that we're not, get stuck in a ditch somewhere, and we're not growing, not maturing, and we're not bearing fruit. In fact, we can do more together than we ever will as an apart. Hallelujah. We can do more in a group than we ever will as individuals. And that's one of the reasons that it's important for you and I to become part of a local church. Number one, we've been baptized into a body. Number two, we've been commanded to assemble. Hallelujah. And I think that's awesome. Number three, Jesus went to church. Jesus, the Son of God, went to church. We find out here in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says right here, Luke 4, 16. And when he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. This was his custom. This was something that he did on a regular basis. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood for to read. Jesus, the Son of God, who had no sin. He was the Son of God. If anybody didn't need to go to church, it was Jesus. Jesus is perfect, but we're not like Jesus. We're not perfect. Hallelujah. We're growing. Although we're born again and our spirits are made perfect, we are still in the process of growing and walking with the Lord. Hallelujah. But if the perfect, sinless Son of God went to church on a regular basis, which Luke chapter 4, verse 16 says, it was his custom. How much more do we need to be plugged into a church? Jesus, as a Jew, went to a synagogue. It was his custom. And here's what I'm saying. The reason I bring this up is we got people say, I don't need church. If Jesus went to church and that was his habit, that was his discipline, and he is above anybody could say, I don't need to go to church because he was perfect. How much more do we need to go to church? And I'm just, the whole point I'm trying to make is Jesus went to church. And if Jesus needed to go to church, how much more do we need to go to church? Hallelujah. I think that's amazing. So we discovered we've been baptized into a body. Hallelujah. We've been commanded to assemble or to go to a local church. And Jesus went to church. And here's the fourth point. After Paul was saved, the Apostle Paul got saved on the road to Damascus, he sought to join himself to the church. It says in Acts chapter 9, verse 25 through 27, then the disciples took him by night. You know, they're getting Paul out of Damascus. They're lowering him through the wall, and they're looking to kill the Apostle Paul in Damascus there because of him preaching the word and converting to Christianity. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were afraid of him and believed not that he was one of the disciples. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way when he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, as soon as he got born again, and he joined himself to the believers in Damascus, he had to leave Damascus, flee for his life. As soon as he came to Jerusalem, he sought to join himself with fellow believers or with the local church. Jesus went to church. The Apostle Paul thought church was important. And if Jesus and the Apostle Paul needed to go to church, how much more do we need to be part of a local church? Amen. You are not some super duper saint. I guarantee you, I've grown up in God, but you know what? I'm not at the level of Jesus or the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. As a son and as a child of God, I am, but their revelation and their spirituality, I'm not walking right now at the level that Jesus did on earth when he was in the flesh. And I'm not walking at the level of the Apostle Paul when he was here on earth in the flesh. Hallelujah. And if those two people that had a far deeper, far deeper experience with God, and they were at a higher spiritual level than I was, if Jesus, the Son of God, and the Apostle Paul needed to go to church, how much more do we need to go to church? And we need to have enough wisdom like the Apostle Paul and say to ourselves, you know what? I need to go find a local church. I need to join myself to fellow believers so that I can remain strong and mature and grow in Christ through the strength of the local church, the strength of community. There is a strength in community that you and I cannot get by our personal relationship with Jesus. We need to be part of a local church. Now, I want to give you some warnings about the local church. I want to make sure that when you're joining a church, that that you're forewarned, that you have the proper relationship with the local church. And if you have a proper relationship or a proper mindset, when you become part of the church, hallelujah, it will avoid you. It will really help you from discomfort or help you get into a situation where you might get hurt. First of all, what I want to say about this, here's what I want to talk about. Number one, here's what I want to say. There are four types of people that go to church. When you go to church, not everybody is like you. Not everybody that goes to church loves Jesus, is going there because they love Jesus, they're hungry for the Word of God, and they want to know God more. Not everybody is there as a son or a daughter of God in love with Jesus and they're running hard after God like you are. Because what happens many times, people get to church and they get saved and they get fired up. You know, you just got born again. You got filled with the Holy Ghost. You're eating the Word of God. And you think that people, everybody that goes to church, they are all like you, and they're not. So I want you to be aware that there are four types of people that go to church. Number one, there are sheep. And that are, these are believers that are born again, hallelujah, and they love Jesus, and they're following Jesus, and they hear his voice, and they love God. I would call this the born-again believer. There are people that are like you. They just got fired up for God. They got born again. They're hungry for the Word of God. They got spirit-filled. They are followers of Jesus. So first of all, and those are the people you want to connect to, amen? Those are the people that will fire you up for the Lord. Number two, the second group of people. And these are the other people I want you to, the next two people I want you to be aware of, they're there and they can hurt you. First of all, there's sheep, there's goats. And what are goats? Goats are self-willed people. They do not love the Lord. They are in love with themselves. They are self-willed. They will hurt you. They will use and abuse you. They are in church for themselves. Amen. And what you got to do is you got to learn how to guard your heart and not drop your guard and immediately give your devotion and your trust to everybody that comes in, that is going to church. And then you end up getting hurt by somebody. You placed your trust in a goat that you thought was a sheep, and you got hurt by a goat. We are not meant to blindly trust people. We need to love everybody, but we need to inspect people. Hallelujah. Love is unconditional, but trust is earned. And you got to realize there are people out there that are self-willed, that are in it for themselves, and they are goats. Hallelujah. And they will hurt you. They are in it for themselves. They will use and abuse you if they have the opportunity, and you need to protect your heart against such people. The third type of people, there are wolves. And what wolves do, they are like next level goats. What a wolf will do, a wolf is coming to the local church to eat sheep. Sheep are on the menu. And what wolves love is they love naive and gullible sheep. And what they want to do is the three characteristics of a wolf. They're after your money. They want to control you. They want your money. Hallelujah. And they want to implement their will over you. They're seeking to draw away disciples after themselves and not after Jesus. It said, beware of false prophets who come to you. Matthew chapter 7, in wolves in sheep's clothing, who are, you know, they outwardly, they appear to be sheep, but inwardly, they're ravaging wolves. That word ravaging in wolves, that word ravaging in the Greek means a thief or an extorter. They're after your money. They want your money. And what happens is many times you go to church and you don't realize there's goats. You don't realize there's wolves. And you drop your guard and you trust somebody that was not worthy of your trust. Here's what I'm saying. Not everybody that goes to church is trustworthy. And you don't sit there and give your undivided attention and devotion and trust to people that have not earned it. Love is unconditional. Love does not need to be earned. Trust does. And then finally, the fourth type of person, which we need, is our shepherds. These are people that God has ordained to lead the local church. They're called pastors in modern vernacular. They're shepherds, they're pastors, and they are there given as a gift to the body of Christ to gather a sheep together. They have an anointing to gather. And what do? They feed us with knowledge and understanding. They are examples to follow. They are living examples to follow. and they take the oversight. They watch over our souls, and they're anointed of God to do so. So when you come to church, I want you to be aware. Don't be naive. Don't be gullible. There are four types of people. There are sheeps. There are goats. There are wolves. And there are shepherds. And you need to examine the fruit on the person's tree to determine who they are and whether they're worthy of your trust. Amen? Because many times people get hurt because they drop their guard. They come to church. You're excited about Jesus. And then you bump into a goat. You bump into a wolf. Somebody takes advantage of you. You get hurt and it knocks you out of church. Amen? So here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, I want to read this to you. Beware of men, for they shall deliver you to their councils, and they shall scourge you in their synagogues. Here's the whole point I want to bring out of Matthew 10, 17, in relationship to the church. Jesus said, beware of men, or beware of people. In other words, if you got a fence, you got a big old fenced-in yard, and it says, beware of dog, if you ignore that sign and you go into that yard, not looking for a dog, not with caution, not hallelujah, not with if you don't go in there and you're not paying attention, looking for the danger, hallelujah, and you get bit by a dog and injured, that's your own fault. And I'm not trying to blame you if you've gotten church hurt or somebody hurt you in church. But Jesus has warned us. He put a warning label on people. Beware of people. Everybody is not what they appear to be. There are false advertisers. There are sheeps. Sheep who you are going to develop a healthy relationship with and really lifelong friendships with within the local church. There are goats, self-willed people. There are wolves that want to devour you, and there are shepherds that have been set over you to feed you, to be an example, hallelujah, and to take the oversight and to watch over your soul. So what is he saying here? Beware, men. Don't go in there with your eyes closed. Make sure you know who you're kissing. Don't kiss people with your eyes closed. Make sure you know who you are putting your trust in. Now, there are two ditches, and I want to talk about this. When we come to church, in light of sheeps, goats, and wolves, and shepherds, and being aware of men. Number one, there are two ditches, naive and gullible. Don't be naive and gullible. Not everybody is what they appear to be. Amen? Prove it. Test it. Hallelujah. Don't be naive and gullible. Naive and gullible Christians are the favorite food of wolves. Wolves love naive and gullible Christians. Don't be naive and gullible. You want to love everybody unconditionally, hallelujah, but what you want to do is you want to make somebody is trustworthy before, or they're worthy of your trust before you trust. Love is unconditional. Trust must be earned over time. Amen? So we got the first thing, naive and gullible. And many times Christians come to church, they're naive and gullible. They put their trust in somebody that wasn't trustworthy. They get hurt. They get knocked out of church. Don't be naive and gullible. The other ditch is cynical and distrusting. And this is a person that came in naive and gullible. They got hurt. And now all of a sudden, they're cynical and distrusting. They don't trust anybody. They're always complaining. They're hurt. They're wounded. They're injured. And again, we don't want to be naive and gullible. And we don't want to become cynical and distrusting where we believe that everybody is a bad actor. Because there are some, in other words, what you do is you let, when you become cynical and distrusting, it shuts your heart down, and then you're not able to connect to genuine, good people who are not goats, who are not wolves, and it hinders your ability to have good, healthy relationships within the local church. I don't want to be naive and gullible. I don't want to become cynical and distrusting. We need to insulate ourselves, not isolate ourselves. And when we become cynical and distrusting, we stop assembling, we forsake the assembling of ourselves, we pull back from church, and we begin to complain about the local church and believe that and just run it down with our mouth. And then we get unplugged from community. We get unplugged from the body, and we're just like that heart. The heart got cut out of the body, and it's only a matter of time, and that heart will cease to beat, and it will die. Hallelujah. And we don't want to do that. So don't be naive and gullible. Don't be cynical and distrusting, but let's put it in the middle of the road. Let's avoid both of those ditches, and let's put it in the middle of the road. And the middle of the road is this: sober and vigilant. Be sober-minded and be vigilant. In other words, I'm not drunk by your charisma. I'm not going to get intoxicated by your charisma. You sound, you know, people get, oftentimes a bad actor will have good charisma. You'll get drawn in by their gifts. I'm not going to be drunk by your charisma, and I'm not going to be offended by your humanity. When I see the cracks in your pot, when I see that you're not perfect, hallelujah, I'm not going to get offended by that. I'm going to be sober. I'm not going to get drunk with charisma, and I'm not going to get drunk on offense or unforgiveness. But what I am going to do is I'm going to remain sober and vigilant. In other words, I'm going to be sober-minded, realizing that there are four types of people in the church, and I'm going to watch. And I'm going to make sure a person is trustworthy before I give them my trust. Amen? And if you'll do that, you know what will happen? You'll stop yourself from being hurt by church. Many believers, they come to church brand new, brand spanking new. They get fired up. They drop their guard. Hallelujah. And they're not sober. And they're not vigilant. They're naive and gullible. They put their trust in somebody that they shouldn't have trusted. They get hurt. And then, hallelujah, they become cynical and distrusting. And even if people are not goats and wolves, people are people. People are flawed. When you come to church, there are people that are at every type of level. There are baby Christians. There are immature Christians. There are mature Christians. There are people that are all, at all levels of growth and have all different demeanors, different temperaments, and so on and so forth. And I just want you to be aware, like Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 10, verse 17, beware of men and be sober and vigilant and realize people are people and you need to guard your heart. You need to set healthy boundaries. That's what I'm saying. Don't drop your guard. Make sure you set healthy boundaries, but don't make those boundaries. Don't dig a moat and make a wall where nobody can have relationship with you. Don't dig a moat and build a wall, but have healthy boundaries and be sober and vigilant and make sure that the people that you trust are worthy of your trust. And people are going to let you down because people are people. And what we need to do is we need to insulate ourselves in love and learn how to love people and not get bitter or get in bitterness or unforgiveness. Amen. So here's what I want to talk about finding a local church. Now that we're saying, let me introduce you to the church, I want to give you some ideas, some things that I believe that will help you in locating a good local church. Number one, when choosing a church, the Bible emphasizes the importance of a church that prioritizes the Word of God. Make sure they prioritize the Bible, that everything they do, everything they say, they can back it up with Scripture. It agrees with the Word of God. So they prioritize, when choosing that, you want to make sure they prioritize the Word of God, healthy leadership, and a community that fosters genuine relationships and discipleship. We want genuine relationships, and we want to develop, we want to be disciplined in following Jesus. Amen. Here's the breakdown of the key principles to consider. We're going to go over each one of those. They prioritize the Word of God, healthy relationship, community. Here's what we want to say. Number one, does the church love Jesus? I want to go to a church that loves Jesus. That's number one. and my priority list. When you're shopping for a local church, hallelujah, find a church that loves Jesus. You don't want to find a church that's that they become a community center and they're inundated with secular humanism, where all they do is they go out and they do projects in the community and they minister to the homeless or do whatever, but they don't have an emphasis on Jesus. I want to go to a church, and we need to find a church that loves Jesus. Exalts Jesus as Lord, as Christ and the Lord. Look for a church that acknowledges that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the sure foundation and the cornerstone of our faith. So my first priority when looking for a local church, I want to find a church that loves Jesus. Number two, biblical teaching and authority. I want a church that prioritizes Scripture. Look for a church that affirms the Bible as God's inspired word, authoritative and significant and sufficient for all things we need for life and godliness. Look for a church that loves Jesus and that teaches from the Bible. The Bible is the final place, we go on all matters of faith and conduct. I'm looking for a church that prioritizes the Bible. Number two, with biblical teaching and authority, they have sound doctrine. They're not getting into some weird doctrine or some weird teaching. Ensure that the church's teachings align with biblical truth and avoid promoting unbiblical doctrines or practices. I want to make sure that what they teach their teachings agree with the entirety of Scripture, and they're just not cherry-picking Bible verses to teach something that they want to believe in that cannot be substantiated by all of Scripture, or they want to teach something that agrees with the culture but clearly violates the Word of God. I want to make sure they prioritize Scripture and they have solid, sound doctrine. The third thing, they're not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. A good church should be unafraid to preach the gospel message and stand firm on biblical principles, even when facing cultural opposition. They don't bend to the fads or the whims of the culture. They stick with the Bible. They are not ashamed of Jesus. They are not ashamed of the Bible, and they're not ashamed of the gospel. That's the kind of church I want to go to. Number three, the third thing. So we said they got to love Jesus. They got to prioritize biblical teaching and biblical authority. The third thing when looking for a church, healthy leadership. I want a church that has a healthy pastor. I don't want a control freak. The pastor is to watch over me, but not control me. I don't want command and control. I want church leadership that where they have good examples and they will nurture me and they will watch over me as a person that must give an account for my care unto the Lord. They are watching over me as a person who is under the Lord and must give an account for what they did with me. Hallelujah. I don't want somebody that's got to micromanage my life, control me, be ugly, use legal. I don't want a shepherd that beats on sheep. Amen. That's what I'm trying to say. I want good, healthy relationships, good, healthy leadership, biblical leadership. Seek leaders who are godly. They're not living in sin. They're humble and willing to serve the flock rather than seek their own personal gain. Oh, my Lord. Ain't that amazing? That's good. Number two, leadership. They're accountable, accountability and discernment. Look for leaders who are accountable to the Word of God and demonstrate sound judgment in their decisions. Man, that is just so good there. And again, this is an introduction. And I know this might be a little bit longer, but you know what? I'm just touching these things. Shepherding the flock, talking about church leadership. A good church will have leaders who will actively care for the spiritual well-beings of the members. They will seek you out when you're sick, when you're in a ditch, when things are going on in your life. They will hunt you out, hallelujah, in order to see how you're doing. They genuinely care for you and they nurture you with the word of God. So that's what we got. Number four, we went through number one. What did we do? We said number one, they love Jesus. Number two, they prioritize the Bible. Number three, healthy leadership. Number four, a church that fosters or promotes community and relationships. Fellowship and unity. Look for a church where people genuinely care for one another, where you can go, where you can find meaningful relationships and support. I want to go to a church where they love me. I want to be loved. I want friends. I'm going for genuine, where people genuinely care for one another. Discipleship, talking about community and relationship. Ensue a church that actively seeks to disciple its members, helping them grow in their faith and live out their calling. A church that is interested in your spiritual growth. Another thing about community relationship, engagement and service. A healthy church will encourage members to actively participate in ministry and service, both within the church and within the community. And these are just things, I mean, all of these things that I'm reading are good. I would look for a church that fits these characteristics. Number five, practical considerations when choosing a church. So those were all spiritual considerations, but number five are some practical things that you might want to consider when choosing a church. Number one, attend multiple services. Before you marry somebody, you want to date them. Before you devote yourself to a local church, you need to date the local church and you need to attend multiple services. Don't rush into a decision. Visit several churches to get a sense of the atmosphere, teaching, and community. Take a little bit of time. We're not in a hurry. Date the church. Go to multiple services and see what they're like. And make sure you like the church. Make sure you like the pastor. If you don't like the church, they're not your flavor. You don't like the pastor, hallelujah, you're not going to go. You're not going to go to a church that you don't like. Make sure you like the worship. Make sure that this is your cup of tea. Two, practical consideration. Pray and seek God's guidance. Ask God, where should I go? Pray for God's guidance as you seek a church that will help you grow spiritually and serve you effectively. Pray, ask God. And then the fourth practical consideration is this. Consider the location and the schedule. Why would you go to a church that's 2 hours away? You're not going to be devoted. You're going to drive 2 hours every time for a service. You need to consider location. It is something to consider. Hallelujah. And because again, you don't want to go to a good church that's 3 hours away and you're only there once every 3 months. You're not going to grow. You're not going to have family. Hallelujah. You're not going to get the things that you need because you're only going to be there once every 3 months. So consider location and schedule. Factor in practical considerations like location, service times, small group meeting times to find a church that fits your needs. Amen? These are things that you need to consider when looking for a local church. Hallelujah. I want to read real quickly for you this verse when it comes to a local church. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You can do more, get more work done, and have a greater return on your work when you're with other people. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but one unto him that is alone, for he falleth, for he hath not another to help him back up. Number one, you have a greater reward and you can get more done for your labor. Number two, if you fall, you have somebody that can pick you up. You can't pick yourself up. Hallelujah. That's why it's important to be in church. We can do more. We will be more productive in a local church than we ever will by ourselves. And we have people that will pick us up when we fall. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warmed alone? In other words, what I'll say about this, in a local church, you can stay on fire. Hallelujah. You are able to stay on fire in a local church with somebody else. Hallelujah. In relationship and community. And then verse 12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You can overcome problems in a group that you can never overcome by yourself. This is the importance of a local church. Let me introduce you to the local church. Realize there are sheep, there are wolves, there are sheep, there are goats, there are wolves, there are shepherds. Don't be naive and gullible. Don't be cynical and distrusting, but be sober and vigilant and test before you connect. Make sure that the people that you're going to connect to in relationship are trustworthy before you give them your trust. Don't do life alone. Hallelujah. All of us were created to be a part of a community of believers. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let me introduce you to the church. I pray that this will bless you, hallelujah, and will strengthen you as you begin to search for a good local church to be part of. And I believe that you are going to excel. And I believe in this introduction, I've given you all of the foundation that you need to have a good, healthy relationship with a local church where you won't get hurt, and how to pick a good local church as you begin to pray and seek the will of God. Hallelujah, and God bless.
We hope you enjoyed this special teaching from Marcus Wick Ministries. This teaching has been brought to you by the partners of Marcus Wick Ministries. If you are interested in more resources, we encourage you to go to marcuswickministries.com. While there, you will discover a wealth of other valuable resources, as well as upcoming events and how to become a partner. We appreciate your support and would love to hear from you today.